So indeed, we do find ourselves celebrating tonight this beautiful vigil of the ancient and very, very important Feast of Pentecost. And because Catholics are so, rightfully so, routine-oriented, you're probably wondering what on earth is going on this evening with all the getting up and sitting down and all that stuff. A little different mass, isn't it, right? What happened is that a couple of years ago, when they redid the Mass translations and they updated the Missal just a little bit, they restored the ancient practice of having a proper vigil Mass on the Solemnity of Pentecost, which you celebrate tonight and tomorrow in the Church around the world. And so Christmas has a vigil. We're kind of used to that one, right? I mean, Christmas Eve is a little bit different actually than the day, but that's one important vigil. John the Baptist's birthday also actually has a vigil Mass. That's on June 24th. Maybe you didn't know that. Of course, the biggest vigil of them all is the one on Easter Saturday night, Holy Saturday night, the Easter vigil. And then, of course, Pentecost. Those kind of round out the main vigils, I guess, all throughout the year. So why do we have vigils? You know, for one, what this does, theologically and liturgically, makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It really gives kind of an exclamation point, an emphasis, to the Feast of Pentecost, because it's all about the coming of the Holy Spirit. At Christmas time, we're celebrating the coming among us in the flesh of God as man, of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. And that is such a groundbreaking, landmark, profound event that it requires a special set of celebrations around it, a special midnight mass, a mass of vigil time, special things that are sung. So it's so important, extra things are done around it. Tomorrow, tonight, no less important than Christmas in so many respects. The coming of the third person, the Holy Trinity, the one who is often undersung and forgotten about, and very subtle in his operations, the Holy Spirit. Such an important, profound event as Pentecost is the unleashing of the Spirit of the entire world that the early Christians and the Roman Church, as centuries would pass, would construct around Pentecost beautiful feasts and celebrations and liturgical rites. So we have a sequence for today that's required. We just heard it sung just a moment ago beautifully by our cantor in celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have, again, restored a couple of years ago a proper vigil mass with four readings and four responses and four proper collects for those readings. So the vigil is in place to draw attention to how important the feast is because the Holy Spirit is just that important. At least it should be anyhow in our lives and in our world if we're paying attention anyway. What do those readings celebrate in this great vigil? They kind of work up a little bit if you noticed. The first one from the book of Genesis is Genesis 11. It's the very end of what's called the prehistory period of that book. It's the end of the time before Abraham's story takes over. It's the last of the kind of shadowed phases of our history. It's the story of Babel, the tragedy of the Tower of Babel, not often heard about during the year. The people get together. They want to build a tower because they want to become like God, and God says, I'm going to scatter you and make you speak different languages so you can't do something so destructive for yourselves ever again. So what's that reading really all about? It's about the beginning of our longing for the unity of the human family among one language, among all of our divided cultures and peoples. We long for unity. Second reading we heard about, the book of Exodus. That's anticipation for the coming of the law, the getting ready for the giving of the commandments. We long for the teaching of God. There's a longing there too. Third reading is beautiful to me, Ezekiel. Again, we don't hear it the rest of the year, but we hear it tonight. It is about the longing of the restoration of the people of Israel in their time of exile, as Ezekiel prophesies over the dead field of dry bones, the entire nation, and they're restored in the spirit. They wanted the nation restored, the restoration of faith. We long for the restoration of faith. And Joel, the last of the four vigil readings, the longing for the coming of the Spirit in the entire world. It's cosmic, pulling in the skies and the stars and all the nations, not just Israel. We long for the entire world to be claimed for the Lord, not just one nation, but everybody. And then, of course, the epistle from Romans we heard just before the gospel, St. Paul. Creation itself groans for the coming of redemption. The rocks, the trees, the birds, the plants, and The more we hear these days about global warming and all the things that are threatening our planet, these readings become even more true, do they not? The world itself longs for redemption. So a vigil is about longing. It's about thirsting after something, hence the gospel. I thirst for the living water, who is the spirit that only Christ can send when he's glorified. We don't keep vigils very well these days, because the thing about it is that a vigil is constructed around the idea that something isn't here yet, that we're waiting for something, that there's an ache, that there's something that must come, and we are so eager for it that we can't stand waiting any longer. We just sort of cry out with a deep, deep anticipation of a need that must be fulfilled. And we don't do them well anymore because, frankly, especially in our culture, so much is always so readily available at our fingertips. What does anybody go without anymore? If you've got a smartphone, you have at your fingertips all the knowledge, all the facts, all the figures, all the apps, all the emails, all the connections, all the people, all the things, all the games, all the entertainment. It's all right there, instantly. There's no waiting anymore for anything. Lines are, you know, not as bad as they used to be. Medicine's available. Pain pills are powerful. Everything is crafted and geared to take away any sense of anticipation. Those of you who are older than me, which is a lot of you, you grew up in an era when there was this thing in a household called having a treat, something you only got once in a great while. My age knows nothing of what that is because we get treats all the time. They don't matter to us anymore. There's no concept of waiting because we're given everything. So vigils only make sense to a group of people who know how to wait for something, who know how to go without things, who know what it means to really, really pine and hunger for something that we truly need. So the keeping of a vigil like we do tonight in a proper ancient liturgical way, which most parishes don't do, incidentally, this keeping like we're doing is so important. It brings us back to what we really, really long for more than anything else in the world. We do long, do we not? Here's one that we might long for to get us all in touch with something, no matter what age group we happen to be in. This morning, I was at St. Mary's Cemetery. I was doing a burial at about, what was it, 10 o'clock? And it snowed on me. It snowed. And in 10 years of priesthood, which is not a long time, but it's long enough, I've never done a burial in May in the snow before. So this morning, I'm probably not alone in thinking that, like all the rest of you, I was longing and yearning and waiting for spring. That's the great thing about days like today. The weather is the one thing left we can't control. And so it does make us have to wait for things, doesn't it? That's beautiful if you think about it. God is so smart, okay, to give us snow in May. It's brilliant. I want warm weather. I want to feel the sun on my face and in my bones. I'm longing for something. We all feel it, right? We get older, we start to long for, if I can just say it plainly, maybe the end of life when everything is fixed, healed, nothing is broken anymore, when our bones aren't aching and we move quicker. We just start to get to the point where we say, you know, at some point it's time to go to the next world. It's supposed to be that way. We long for things, right? So my invitation, I guess, to you, me, everybody, as we celebrate this great vigil and talk about what it means to long for something, to yearn and pine for the coming of something, my invitation is to get us to realize that keeping watch and keeping vigils are good for us. They get us in touch with what we really want, what we're really hungry for. They refine and purify our desires and get us down to what's really essential. And if we get down to what's really essential, what we're all really, really thirsty for and longing for, it is the Holy Spirit. It's the coming of God in vast quantities, poured into our hearts, poured into a broken world, into broken homes and broken cultures and communities and situations. It comes right down to it. We all want God. We want what these readings talk about. So my invitation, my homework is this. Pray tonight in a special way about why it is that you personally, and we all have different reasons for this, why you personally and I personally want the Holy Spirit to come. Why do I want him? What am I really, truly hungering for? What needs to be healed? What needs to be fixed? What needs to be mended and sharpened and polished and strengthened and deepened and glorified and raised up in my heart in my body, in my family, in my world? Why do I want him to come? And the more I get in touch with that want and my desire, the more tomorrow's feast day will seem like the tremendous gift that it really is. It's a powerful, powerful gift, Pentecost is. And the Holy Spirit is a powerful, powerful gift to all of us. He's undersung, neglected, often not paid attention to. Perhaps the more we get in touch with a longing for him, his importance will rise in our prayer, in our hearts, in our daily routines and lives. Let's pray the Holy Spirit, ask him to fill our hearts and put into a side of us a deep understanding for what we long for. We long for him and him alone. May he come. May he come in abundance.